What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Paddock Project. I'm Tiggy, your host, and this is the 2025 end of season recap. I cannot believe another season is done and dusted. It's always such a fun episode. There's so much to go through. We'll be diving into season highlights, lowlights, stats, of course, going through our listener survey results for the superlatives, talking a little bit about my predictions at the beginning of the year, what came true, what didn't. And first, just the biggest thank you to everyone who has listened this season. I think I said this on the last episode, but whether you're completely new to the podcast or you've been around since the For the Girls days, so appreciate you sticking through and listening. Especially, I know this year has been a little bit different without Sarah and Chessa, so very much appreciate all of you who are still here. For the actual stats and superlatives for this episode, I put all the visualizations of those into a Substack piece if you are a visuals person, so recommend checking that out. The link is in the episode description, or it's just tiggyvallon.substack.com, so more to read about and watch or see there. This is the last episode of the year, so happy holidays, and hope you all are getting time with family or loved ones. And if you need dinner topics, you can always refer to that list I put on Instagram over Thanksgiving. So those topics still stand. Discuss at your own risk, because there are some controversial ones in there. But anyway, let's start with some quick news before we dive into everything. So first off, Helmut Marko is out at Red Bull after 20 plus years at the organization. Technically, his role is head of the Red Bull Junior program, but as we know, he's kind of had his hands in a lot of different things. He and Max Verstappen are very loyal to each other. He is the person who got Max Verstappen a seat, got him into Toro Rosso, when others like Toto Wolff thought that he needed another year in sort of a junior series before getting into F1. So Helmut Marko, big champion of Max Verstappen, but obviously a very controversial figure in the paddock, not very PR friendly, if that's the right way to describe it. But he's out. So he initially was thought to be having a contract until 2026, but it was decided in Abu Dhabi that he would be leaving at the end of this year. And as we know, there's been a lot of shuffling at Red Bull. Of course, Christian Horner was out this year as well, and it's hard to even recognize the Red Bull organization without Christian Horner or Helmut Marko, two people who have sort of been at the helm of that organization for decades. And I think I personally am very excited for this new era at Red Bull with new leadership. I really have a lot of faith in Laurent Mekies and a lot of other people at that organization who seem to be thinking about things the right way. So it's going to be interesting. I think Max Verstappen will stick around. If you remember back in the Christian Horner scandal era and at the end of 2024, Max said that if Helmut Marko were to leave Red Bull, then he would also be gone. I do feel like that has probably changed, but I guess we'll see. I think we know Max cares about performance, and so let's see how the Red Bull 2026 car fares and how that all plays out. But I don't see Max going anywhere anytime soon. But anyway, big news that Helmut Marko is out. On the flip side, Mohammed Ben Salem, the president of the FIA, has been re-elected to stay as president of the FIA. I know there's been a lot of sort of rumors and whispers over the past year about the elections and who was going to run. Remember, Carlos Sainz Sr. was rumored to run. People were talking about Susie Wolf at one point. There was also Tim Mayer, and then Laura Villard, who's a French and Swiss driver, 28 years old, announced her intention to run as the first female for the FIA presidency. Basically, there are some technicalities with the way that the FIA presidential election is run, in that you must submit a list of prospective vice presidents for sport, which has to be selected from each of the FIA's six global regions and from a list of candidates eligible to sit on the FIA World Motorsport Council. The problem here is that there's only one candidate from South America, which you need for a successful bid. And who is that candidate from South America? That's Bernie Ecclestone's wife, Fabiana Ecclestone, who is a member of Ben Salem's team. So therein lies the issue. You can kind of see what's going on here. So Laura herself has taken action in French court, and there's set to be a hearing, and we'll see what happens with the mediation and all of that. But I don't think that story's over, although it is a little bit messy, and we shall see what comes of that. But for now, Mohamed Ben Salem stays in his seat. Okay, on to other things. Let's start with the 2025 season. Let's start with overall season highlights, lowlights, main thoughts. I was listening back to last season's end of year recap, and I said 2024 was the best season in a long time. And wow, I had no idea how spoiled I would be in 2025. I went to 5 races this year, which is a record, all 3 of the US races, plus Monaco, which was a huge bucket list item for me. I got to bring my mom, Zandvoort, which was amazing, had some incredible interviews and experiences, like going to F175 in London, cool partnerships, the Australia watch party at the beginning of the season in San Francisco, which was incredible, and of course, just keeping up with all of you on Instagram and the Discord and elsewhere. But in terms of actual season highlights, for me, it was a few things. Number one, rookies shining. We had 6 rookies this year, and honestly, all of them delivered in some way, shape, or form, I thought, which was incredibly fun to see. I'll talk about that in a little bit more depth, but we had a couple rookie podiums. We had Isaac Hadjar with 1 in Zandvoort, and then we had Kimi Antonelli with 3, which was incredible. Another highlight for me this season was Carlos Sainz succeeding with Williams, and just generally Williams' incredible step forward, going P9 to P5 in Constructors, and Carlos saying at the beginning of the season not to really expect much, especially not being anywhere near the top 5, and we had him on podium 2x, which was incredible, and Albon also had a pretty great first half of the season, and tapered off a little bit towards the end there, but overall, just a great step forward from Williams. George Russell stepping up into the number 1 driver's seat at Mercedes, obviously big shoes to fill with Lewis Hamilton leaving for Ferrari and having a really strong rookie driver as his teammate. I think George did incredibly well and showed that A, he's capable of being the number 1 driver and outperforming Kimi when it needs to happen, and B, like also just being a great teammate to Kimi and a great mentor. I think it's unfortunate that, of course, like we had so much of the airspace taken up this season talking about the top 3, but George was top 4, and you know, he wasn't like within striking distance of the title at the end there, but I do think that he showed a lot of skill, and I would hope that Mercedes and Toto are happy with that. Another highlight, just a competitive battle between the McLaren drivers, an insane Max comeback, just witnessing greatness after greatness for him. So a lot of fun and excitement there in the title fight. It's a stat that's been thrown out a million times, but just the fact that it's the first time in over 15 years that we've had a 3-way title fight at the finale says a lot. A couple low lights, I think, quite obvious, is just Lewis and his performance at Ferrari and just generally not feeling like he's found his footing there, and a lot of Ferrari issues generally. Obviously, they did well enough to come P3 in Constructors and had some kind of bright moments throughout the season, but generally it just seemed like there was a lot of like frustration within the organization that seeped out into the broader sort of public media. And of course, Lewis just not feeling good and feeling down a lot in his interviews and post-quali and post-race sessions, and just generally like not having the best year. So my hope for him is that he has an incredible offseason. He said he's going to throw his phone away basically and not be near it at all and really just check out. And I hope that he comes back super strong in 2026. And 2025 is just a blip in the radar. Like we've seen the stats. It's his first podiumless season in his entire career and generally just not a great vibe. Alpine, another low light. Unfortunately, they finished last and really, really struggled. Pierre Gasly definitely had some bright moments, but that car just seemed to be really rough. The sort of organizational struggles they've had have not helped. Franco Colapinto is someone that I expected a bit more from this season. And of course, he's not in a great car, but I don't think he was anywhere near really outperforming Gasly most of the time. And that's, you want to see a little bit more hunger, and I think like bright spots from rookies, regardless of the car that they're in. And I didn't really see that much from Franco, but I think he deserves another chance, and hopefully that will change. So let's get into the season stats and all of that. So a couple just things to note. There were a couple mid-season replacements and switch-ups. First, we had Lawson and Yuki swap for the second Red Bull seat next to Max Verstappen. Lawson started the season with Max at Red Bull, and then Yuki swapped in what I thought at the time was the right decision. I thought that's what should have happened from the get-go. Like, I thought Yuki should have had a chance to start in that Red Bull seat over Liam. And unfortunately, neither of them really performed very well in that seat. So we know how that all goes, but that was one. And then Franco Colapinto replaced Jack Doohan after several races as well at Alpine. So for some stats, let's get into them. So first off, wins. We had Max Verstappen with 8, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri tied with 7, and George Russell with 2. Kind of wild to me that there were only 4 race winners this season. The season felt a lot more competitive than that, but I guess when you think about just the top 3, that's kind of what we were talking about all season long, is just how competitive it was between Max, Lando, and Oscar. I love to see George up there as the only other non sort of title contender representing. Notably missing, of course, are the Ferrari drivers. No Charles, no Lewis. That's pretty surprising and unfortunate. But yeah, otherwise pretty standard. For podiums, this is a little bit more interesting. We have Lando Norris with 18 podiums, then Oscar with 16, Max with 15, George with 9, Charles Leclerc with 7, Kimi Antonelli with 3, Carlos Sainz with 2, Nico Hülkenberg and Isaac Hadjar with 1 each. So Lando, I think this tells a lot of the story of his championship, was just the consistency, the fact that he was able to be on podium like 2 more times than Oscar and multiple more times than everyone else on the grid, just shows a level of consistency that even if he didn't have the most wins of the season, for example, like he was constantly up there and performing well. So good for Lando on the consistency front, especially with podiums. Some other interesting things here. Charles Leclerc with 7 podiums and Lewis Hamilton with 0. That's a really, really tough stat for Lewis and unfortunate. I was actually surprised that Charles was on podium 7 times. That seems questionable to me, but I guess it is what it is. The stats don't lie. Obviously some really exciting ones with Kimi Antonelli, Carlos Sainz. I think one of the highlights for me of this entire season was Nico Hülkenberg's podium, his first after 239 race starts. I don't think there was anyone that day who wasn't happy for him, and just the celebration and the excitement with his family and his daughters, just so, so cute. And of course we can't forget the Lego trophy that he got as well. There were a lot of memes about that. Isaac Hadjar, also an incredible podium in Zandvoort and a long time coming. He's a rookie that really, really surprised me in a good way this season. And yeah, I think there were some really bright moments on the podium front. For pole positions, this one's interesting. So Max Verstappen with 8, Lando Norris with 7, Oscar Piastri with 6, George Russell with 2, and Charles Leclerc with 1. I guess not that surprising. Of course, Max just doing what he does best and sticking it on pole when he needs to. So yeah, I guess not much more to say about that. DNFs, this one was kind of interesting. So Alonso, Lawson, Bortoleto were tied with 5 each for the most. Sainz, Albon, Antonelli with 4. And only George Russell had 0 retirements this season. So another tally in the George column for me. The season MVPs, season LVPs. I talked about this a little bit. It's hard to not say Lando, Oscar, and Max for season MVPs. Obviously, not all 3 of them could win the championship, but I think if you look, I posted on Instagram and on Substack this like top 3 points progression for each of them and sort of seeing how it traded hands, and especially Max coming back 104 points down in Zandvoort all the way to 2 points behind in Abu Dhabi, like Oscar having an incredible first start to the season. One of the really interesting things about Oscar in particular is he went from 0 pole positions in 2024 to 6 in 2025. And I think that just shows a big step change for him in a way that we maybe didn't give him as much credit for. I think it was kind of it felt like a given coming into this season that like, oh, McLaren had just won Constructors. They have an amazing car. Oscar's so great. Like, he's just going to crush it. And of course, him coming out and leading the championship sort of at the beginning of the season was another sort of tally in that box. But I think we maybe don't give him enough credit for how much he improved and how much he did this season when it's only his 3rd season in Formula One. And so I really think Oscar deserves the flowers, even though he kind of fell off a little bit performance-wise in the back half of the season. But I'll talk more about this when I get to superlatives and whatnot. But yeah, I think Oscar, Lando, and Max deserve a lot. I also want to give a shout out to Carlos. I already talked about him, but I think we underestimate how difficult it is to come into a totally new team after never having driven a Mercedes power unit. And, you know, it took him some time to kind of get up to speed. Alex was outperforming him for a good part of the beginning of the season, but he really kind of took it in stride, trusted the process, got to know the team, and just excelled sort of later on in the season. And I can't wait to see what's next for him at Williams, because I would absolutely love the sort of Cinderella story of him being ousted at Ferrari, going to Williams, taking a chance on a team at that point who was P9 in constructors, and then coming back and just doing incredible things and hopefully fighting for podiums, wins, even championships. So those are a few. I know I can't give MVPs to all of the grid, but I do want to say Isaac Hadjar up there and Kimi Antonelli as well. I do think they were the sort of top performing rookies in my mind. LVPs, I talked about this in the lowlights. I just think Alpine was a really tough one, and so I don't want to dwell on that too much, but in my mind that is sort of the big LVP. Maybe just quickly going into my predictions before we get into the listener superlative data is, so what I had said at the beginning of the season, I said for drivers, I said Lando would take it, and then Max P2, and then Lewis P3. So I was right on the first two, but obviously not Lewis. It was Oscar in P3 instead. But I kind of had thought Lando from the start. I think a lot of people did, but I had faith in him through the ups and downs to sort of pull it off. And of course, it was a 2-point margin at the end there, but I'm just really happy that Lando was able to do that. I mean, just watching the reaction and what it means to him, what it means to his family, what it means to everyone who's sacrificed so much, it's just hard not to be super happy. For constructors, I had said McLaren, Ferrari, and Mercedes is the top three in constructors. I was wrong there. Outside of McLaren, I got that one right, but it was Mercedes P2, Red Bull P3, Ferrari P4, which is a big yikes. In terms of rookies, I said Ollie Bearman would be the best rookie, and I wouldn't call him the best rookie, especially with Isaac Hadjar and Kimi Antonelli, but he did do really well and performed really well throughout the season. So I am really happy for him, especially given the fact that he was in a Haas, but he was neck and neck with Esteban Ocon. Maybe just to quickly go through a couple of the qualifying and race head-to-head stats. So for Ollie in particular, he was qualifying head-to-head. He was 14 versus 10 for Ocon. So he outperformed Ocon in quali. And then he was dead even tied for race head-to-head. So it was Ocon 12 and Bearman 12. So love to see that. The only two drivers who were undefeated in qualifying against their teammates were Max Verstappen and Fernando Alonso. That's pretty tough. I guess I would add Stroll to the LVP camp. When we get to superlatives, I'll talk about him a little bit more. But yeah, that was a bit tough. I know the Aston Martin car struggled a bit. And I know Fernando Alonso is a 2-time world champion. But I mean, come on, 24-0 is hard to argue against. Let's get into some superlatives, because these are always fun. So best overall driver, I'm going to read the top three results that you guys said. 46% of you said Max Verstappen, 30% of you said Lando Norris, 15% of you said Oscar Piastri, and about 9% of you said other. My pick is Max Verstappen. I agree with the masses on this one. I think it's really hard to dispute that, just given it was no secret that Red Bull's car wasn't the best this season. And so to see him do what he did with that car, he definitely deserves best overall driver. I don't think if you put every single person in an identical same spec car, I don't think it's a question who would win that race. But I would like to see that. So please, someone make that happen. Okay, most improved driver. This was pretty scattered. So 29% of you said Isaac Hadjar, 70% of you said Kimi Antonelli, 15% Oscar Piastri, 10% Ollie Bearman, 9% Lando Norris, and 22% other. So this was pretty distributed. My pick is Oscar Piastri. I think, like I was just saying, he was great in 2024, but I do feel like this season especially was a step change for him. And just being able to see him bounce back mentally and performance-wise after some really tough setbacks, I think was so incredible. Like, we saw him DNF his first race in his home race in Australia and then come back the next race to win in China. We saw him lose his form in the back half of the season to then come roaring back in the last two races and outperform his teammate both races in Qatar and Abu Dhabi. And so I just think Oscar, to me, improved the most from 2024 to 2025. And he was already good in 2024. I do think a world championship is coming for Oscar. I don't disagree with the Isaac Hadjar, though. I think the rookies are a good shout for this one, especially Isaac and Kimi. For least improved, you all said Lance Stroll, 28%, Franco Colapinto, 25%, Lewis Hamilton, 20%, Yuki Tsunoda, 11%, and other 16%. I also agree with the majority on this one, and it being Lance Stroll. Like I said, yes, you have a world champion teammate, but I think it's hard to argue the outperformance there regardless. And I guess I'll just jump to the most likely to retire and lose seat next, because I also said Lance Stroll for this one. And I know that his dad owns the team, but I don't get the sense that he enjoys being a Formula One driver. He kind of just doesn't seem like he's having fun. So my prediction is that he makes the decision to retire or move on from Formula One maybe sooner rather than later. I don't see how it's fun for him. He doesn't show up to a lot of stuff. He doesn't do much media. Not that like you have to do media to enjoy the sport, but I just kind of get the sense he's like over it all. Who you all said for most likely to retire or lose seat was Franco Colapinto, 27%, Fernando Alonso, 23%, Lewis Hamilton, 19%, Liam Lawson, 12%, and 19% other. So interesting spread. Most likely to be future champion. 59% of you said Oscar Piastri for this one. 16% said Kimi Antonelli, 8% Isaac Hadjar, and 17% other. I agree with Oscar on this one. I think if McLaren stays competitive in 2026 with the new regulations, it sort of feels inevitable. The one thing I'm surprised by here is that not more people said Charles Leclerc or George Russell. And I wonder if that's because people don't think that Ferrari can deliver Charles a championship winning car, or same with Mercedes, or if mentally we've all sort of like moved on from that era of drivers, because I think George and Charles sort of come from the same era of rookiedom in Formula One. And it seems like, at least from the results, we've moved on to Oscar, who's a couple years younger, Kimi and Isaac, who are obviously rookies. So it's almost like we've jumped over this whole generation of potential champions, which I find interesting, but I digress.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans: a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Best overall team: McLaren 49%, Williams 30%, Mercedes 14%, and other 7%. I agree with McLaren. I think we can debate papaya rules as much as we want, but to do what they did and win both championships this year requires a lot of things going right. And I think we've watched this sort of insane Cinderella story for McLaren, a 10-year rebuild with Zak Brown sort of at the helm commercially, and just so much has to go right to turn a team around from basically sort of being middle to back of the pack to winning both championships. And I just think McLaren deserves the flowers there for having done that, even if we don't all agree with the way that they handle things sometimes on track or otherwise. But I do think, despite the sort of papaya rules mess and how unclear things can feel at times on track or with fairness of their drivers, like, they really deserve the kudos for being the team that they are and have become. Best social media team: this is no conversation. 4% of you said Racing Bulls. Whoever didn't say Racing Bulls, I'm very curious. You said Williams. 10% of you said Williams. 8% of you said Mercedes. 9% of you said other. I think, for me, no question, no one is doing it better than Racing Bulls right now. And it seems like they've just done a full rehaul of their social media team over the past like season or season and a half, because people are working overtime. And it is amazing seeing what Isaac and Liam have sort of cooked up. My favorite is still the burning pot one where Leon then starts like strumming a guitar. If you haven't seen that, highly recommend doing a scroll through their Instagram. Lastly, best livery. So this was very split. I think Racing Bulls 26%, Williams 24%, McLaren 15%, Ferrari 10%, Mercedes 9%, and other 15%. I have to say Mercedes, I'm clearly in the minority here, but I think there's something about that like black and silver that just does it for me. It looks really clean. I like the look of it on track. I think it's just very sleek and it just looks to me like a fast racing car. And maybe it gives me a little bit of nostalgia for like the 2010s era. I don't know. I agree that Racing Bulls had the best special liveries, like the pink Miami V Carby. And then of course the Las Vegas like glittery one. I just absolutely loved those two and they really do a great job with special liveries. But I think like regularly scheduled programming, I choose Mercedes. I also do like the green Aston Martin. I think that's a very beautiful color and a beautiful car. For best season radio, almost all of you agreed it was the must be the water. That was so good. Charles, poor Charles. Add that to the words of wisdom. Ferrari had some fire radios this year. That one, I think I have to agree, it was the must be the water. Just so good. Best celebrity attendee. A lot of you said Terry Crews. Someone said they're all so lame, few real fans. Adele or Ray being a Ferrari diva. Someone said me, very nice. Hello Kitty, I like that. Madeline White, a TikToker, but she makes the races so fashionable. She also brings a natural vibe to F1 because she grew up watching it. I agree, I love seeing Madeline White's content at Formula One. What else? Beyonce, that was a good one. Yeah, some good ones. Best merch drop. A lot of you said Charles Leclerc, but there are so many different ones. F1 Academy, Hello Kitty, LN4 Never Misses, the Carby shirts. Yeah, there were a lot, but I do think that Charles's merch, despite how expensive it is, was probably the most like unique and fun and stuff that I feel like I would wear every day. Like I want that scarf. I didn't order it sadly, but maybe someday I will get my hands on it. Okay, hottest take for 2026. I'm just going to read a select few here. Ferrari Constructors Champions. We'll see. Hamilton might retire maybe even before the summer if Ferrari doesn't show some promise straight away. Max retires and George moves to Red Bull. Four-way title fight, Oscar, George, Max, and Charles. Mercedes are going to make a spectacular comeback. Now that I can get behind, I do think that they are going to build a really good engine. Aston Martin top three team next year, even with Stroll. I would love to see that as well. Obviously, a lot of changes on that front, a lot of investment in that team. Honda coming in, Adrian Newey as team principal, new factory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Isaac will cook in the Red Bull. I love that. I really hope that that's true. Cadillac wins a race. Ugh, that would be incredible. Alex Albon, two-time Grand Prix winner. That's very specific, but I'm here for it. Total chaos. Some low-level team will be in the mix. That is my number one wish for 2026, is that this new regulation, this blank slate, will just completely shake it up and just make it so fun. And there will be some midfield or sort of back-of-the-grid team that comes and is fighting for wins and podiums. A championship might be too much to ask for, but I would love to see it. And it does feel like it could be possible. Okay, so those are some thoughts on the 2025 season. I want to go through F1 Academy as well, just because they had an incredible season. It was so fun to watch on track, and I'm really excited to see what comes for 2026 and beyond. I was lucky enough to go to 3 of their 7 race weekends. I did Miami, I did Zandvoort, and I did Vegas, and I talked about this in a Substack piece, so recommend reading that if you haven't already. I wrote sort of two, one on the Lego announcement and why that partnership makes a lot of sense for F1 Academy and just some interesting stats and facts I didn't really know about the series before going to that announcement. And then two, I wrote a piece on like all the F1 Academy season stats and sort of what the season meant. I just find that team to be doing like all the right things. And I think the next big frontier is getting more and more of these women up into sort of further series, whether that's F3 or otherwise, like just getting them to the next level of motorsport. And to that end, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, but I did get to interview both Marta Garcia and Abby Pulling, the two former champions of F1 Academy, and also the head of driver development, Katie Denver, while I was in Vegas. And so I'm going to be doing a piece and putting those out on the podcast eventually, sort of discussing or acknowledging what a life after F1 Academy looks like and how that series prepares drivers for life beyond F1 Academy. So for some quick stats, this was a much more competitive year. For wins, we had Dorian Pain with 4, Maya Vogue with 3, Chloe Chambers with 2, and then Alicia Palmaski, Ella Lloyd, Emma Felbermeyer, Nina Gaideman, and Leah Block all with 1 win each, which is very exciting. I think the reason we're seeing more competitive racing, or at least more variability in the number of wins and the number of podiums, is a lot due to the reverse grid rule that they implemented. So the top 8 in qualifying reversed their order for race 1. And that just gave us a lot of really exciting things like rookie podiums, rookie wins, first time winners like Leah Block. It kind of forced the quickest drivers to carve through the pack more so than they might otherwise have had to do. So I think it was a really good rule change for them, and I'm glad they did that. For podiums, we had Maya Vogue with 9, Dorian Pain with 8, Chloe Chambers with 7, Alicia Palmaski and Ella Lloyd with 5, Nina Gaideman with 4, Leah Block with 2, Emma Felbermeyer and Aurelia Nobles with 1 each. Pole positions was interesting. Only 2 drivers took pole throughout the entire season. So Chloe Chambers and Maya Vogue. Chloe Chambers had 4 and Maya Vogue had 3. So shout out to Chloe Chambers for being incredible on 1 lap pace and just showing her speed there. I think that's awesome. I also did a little bit of a sort of top 3 points progression visualization for them, which you can find on Instagram or on Substack if you want to sort of see that visually. But it shows Dorian Pain and Maya Vogue kind of like trading places and being relatively consistent throughout. And then Chloe Chambers having a little bit of a plateau sort of later in the season through Zandvoort and Singapore, and then performing really well in Vegas. Unfortunately, after Zandvoort and Singapore, it was too tough for her to be able to come back and challenge for that title. But Maya Vogue and Dorian Pain were very close for most of the season. Fastest laps, which is always fun as well. Dorian Pain had 6, Maya Vogue with 5, Chloe Chambers with 4, and Tina Hausman with 1. The 2026 calendar was also announced, which is very exciting. So they're starting in Shanghai. They're going to Jeddah, Montreal, Silverstone, Zandvoort, Austin, and Vegas. So they're swapping Miami for Austin, it looks like, for the U.S. race, but they're staying in Vegas for their finale, which is very exciting. But it's going to be fun to see them race at Silverstone, Shanghai, Jeddah, Montreal. I don't think they've raced in Montreal yet either. Or maybe they have. But anyway, it's going to be a very fun 2026. I'm hoping to at least make it to the US ones. We'll see about the others. But yeah, very exciting. I cannot wait for... I'm already counting down to the 2026 season, but in the meantime, I hope you all have a very, very happy holidays, and thank you, as always, for listening.